Joining us in studio, and a big good morning to Emily Gonzalez and Corey Law, both with the Whiteside County Health Department. Hey, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Corey, the sheriff was departing, and you were coming in and you're saying, you're just at work all the time, you don't stop, and boy, we sure appreciate everything you're keeping the community up to date on.
Well, yeah, it's not just me, it's the entire team. I'm just the loudest, so, people hear me a lot.
But certainly, you even send me emails and all the partners involved on weekends as well.
Yep, COVID has not gone anywhere. It's still in our community, and there are daily updates on cases, whether or not we have them, things like that. So I just want to make sure all of our partners are aware.
And you got a couple updates to share with us this morning as well.
Yeah, just here I'm actually bringing you some updates from the Whiteside County Community Health Clinic. We're just slightly changing the way we're doing testing. We've been seeing everyone who was interested in getting COVID testing at our drive-up and in our back parking lot, and those tests have been going to IDPH laboratories for processing. Well, as testing capacity has increased, it's kind of put a strain on IDPH laboratories, and results are taking a little longer to get. And you'll find that across the board, across the country, everyone who's providing tests is having difficulty getting those tests back in a timely manner. But since IDPH labs are focused on quickly identifying outbreaks and new cases, we're going to kind of reserve that drive-through testing for just symptomatic individuals, people who have known exposure and critical infrastructure, whereas people who maybe are getting tested because they want to go on vacation and it's required, or pre-procedure, we're going to be seeing those people who are asymptomatic, we're going to be seeing them inside the clinic for a visit and a test actually at the clinic, and then we're going to send those to a private laboratory so that we can kind of alleviate some of that burden on our IDPH laboratory so that they can really focus on identifying cases early so we can intervene.
And Emily, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked quite a bit on the phone, and I misidentified you the past couple of times we were on the phone. You are with Infection Control.
Yes, Infection Control and Immunizations.
I kept trying to put you in a different department as if you weren't busy enough. And what information have you brought us this morning?
I'm just kind of going over physicals, the requirements for the school year, and of course for immunizations. So physicals have begun. We're starting to see an increase in those in our Whiteside County Health Clinic. So just a reminder that any students that are entering preschool, kindergarten, sixth grade, ninth grade, and anyone that's new to the school district should call now to get their physical done. And then out of those that are getting physicals for the immunizations that are required is for grade kindergarten, sixth grade, and 12th grade.
And I noticed the Illinois High School Association, they've kind of put out some new regulations. A lot of people have, some questions and concerns. Have they really nailed it down to what it's going to be, or is that going to change as far as everyone wearing masks that's included in sports?
Yeah, so with the changes and guidelines, we learned about that yesterday, and the IHSA's changes kind of seem to be geared because we're seeing more cases among high school age individuals. The only thing that is going to be certain in this next year is that nothing is certain and everything will change. So, officials there, officials at IDPH, CDC, everyone will be looking at current situation, evaluating, and seeing what changes need to be made. So as we hopefully see cases decrease, and if we see cases decrease among school-age children in our communities, that guidance, we expect it to change, to be relaxed a little. But if cases continue to go up and become a problem, we're going to see more strict protective measures taken. And kind of along that line, what I just wanted to kind of bring up is, in Whiteside County, we have seen a slight increase in cases. In the last 7 days, we've had 21 new cases compared to 12 in the previous seven. And if we look at the kind of 28-day window that IDPH was using to determine movement through our phases, The last 28 days we've had 53 new cases, and the previous 28 we had 46. So, you know, we did expect to see a few more cases as we opened up and started interacting with each other a little, but this really shows that, you know, the situation isn't improving, at least. You know, if anything, it's remaining the same, maybe getting a little worse. So we want to remind people that, you know, COVID is still here. It's going to be with us for a year or longer. So, you know, do what you can to protect yourself. Wear that mask when you're out and about in public. IDPH suggests you wear it when you're together with friends. Masking is not a... does not replace the need for social distancing. So you still want to be keeping that physical distance, that 6 feet or more between you and others when you're together, along with the mask. Of course, monitoring yourself for symptoms, staying home when you're sick, things like that.
Emily, your expertise, infection control, should people still be wiping down surfaces and, of course, using hand sanitizer and all that?
Definitely. We should still be doing all that to make sure we're cleaning the surfaces the best we can. And as Corey had mentioned in regards to our cases kind of going on an upward trend, now that we're a little bit more open, we're seeing a lot more social gathering. So that's why he emphasizes the importance of wearing that mask and social distancing even when hanging out with friends. Because when Whiteside County Health Department's calling you to let you know we're following up with your positive COVID results and we're quarantining a lot more people in regards to exposures. So just important that we are doing our part for the community.
Now, if somebody comes back with ends up being asymptomatic, are they surprised to find that out?
Most of the time, they're very surprised. Some are getting tested prior to pre-op procedures. So when they're coming back positive, they've been so good about staying in and not going out as much and not attending social gatherings. So it's unfortunate that they come back positive and their surgeries get delayed because of that.
So, you know, you could, I don't know, are we calling it a carrier or how are we qualifying that? Because you could have it and not have any of the symptoms.
Some people, and tend to be most people after we follow up after their 10 days of isolation is over, we learn that they might have developed a cough, maybe a runny nose, and some people just don't recognize the symptoms. At the time when the COVID first came out, it was fever, cough, shortness of breath, and sore throat, and then it expanded. We've seen more symptoms of diarrhea, abdominal upset, headache. So we're seeing a lot of headaches associated with it and not even necessarily fevers anymore. But still a sign and symptom, so make sure we're using precautions when going out prior.
And the difficulty with that is, you know, if you're someone who suffers from headaches often, or you get them every once in a while, or maybe you've been stressed, you haven't been sleeping as well, you may just think you're asymptomatic when really you do have a symptom. And we know that asymptomatic transmission is possible, and it's possible this virus has spread up to 2 days before you even develop a symptom, if you develop a symptom. So that's why taking those protective actions and being careful about who you're around, not being around vulnerable populations, if at all possible, is a good idea.
Yeah, this virus at times almost seems like a chameleon and sometimes unidentifiable and presents this symptom or that symptom, or kind of can almost decide how it's gonna be spread or not spread, because now we kind of have the droplet or the vaporizing conversation coming up, and then that goes away, and then something. It's so hard to nail down.
Yep, it's a new illness, so there's still a lot we're learning. We're constantly learning, but you know, those protective measures are thankfully going to help. Hand washing will hopefully prevent foodborne illness. You know, so when you are having those, hopefully, socially distanced gatherings, you know, washing your hands frequently will reduce the chance of foodborne illness, other illnesses. Masking and social distancing will also hopefully help with influenza this fall. So those protective actions are for more than just COVID. It'll hopefully bring a healthier community all around.
I'm glad to see so many places that we do our convenience shopping or any shopping to begin with. Hand wipes to wipe down the carts, and all the shield and spacing going up, and the hand sanitizer available at each of the counters.
Yeah, you know, we've had some great partners in that regard. We still want to remind everyone that, you know, masking when you're out and about is still important. It's still the CDC's recommendation, IDPH's recommendation. And we know it's not always happening. People get tired of this, and unfortunately, that doesn't mean COVID's gone anywhere. It just means that, you know, we're not as focused on it. So, you know, if you are someone who's high risk, we want you to be evaluating restaurants and grocery stores for what they're doing to keep you safe, and help that make your decision of who to give your business to.
Emily, maybe a difficult question. Do you think the youngsters, let's say 6, 5 and under, you think they have an idea of what's going on right now?
No, I have a 6-year-old and he calls it the coronavirus, but he doesn't understand everything that gets canceled. He keeps just saying it's because of the coronavirus. He understands to an extent, but I think it's hard on them when they don't understand when they have to go to school, why they have to mask. We just kind of keep reminding them that, you know, it's to help keep those droplets in and keep other people safe. You don't want your friend to get sick at school.
So maybe prior to those bells ringing, it'd be a good time to maybe just practice with the kid. This is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And your teacher, your instructor will let you know when you don't need it. But for the most part, the possibility is the duration that they're at kindergarten or first grade, they could have it on all day,
yes.
Except when they're eating.
Yep, correct. It's really important that we wear that mask. So if they're going out to the stores with you, start practicing it, going to the stores, that way they can understand its importance. And when we're going out to the community, that mask wearing is highly important.
And they're getting very friendly with soap and sanitizer as well.
Yes, learning to wash their hands properly.
And anything else we need to know, Corey or Emily?
No, nothing I can think of. And yeah, those healthy habits start early, so.
Yes.
And information is available at whitesidehealth.org.
Yep, and also the coronavirus.illinois.gov. That's a great place for updates. And individuals who are interested in testing in our area and others can also find other testing locations besides just our hospitals and clinic.
And again, testing availability at the clinic is?
Yep, you just call and we'll find an appointment for you to try to get you in.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Appreciate the update, and we got a comfortable weekend coming up, and if you get the opportunity, take some time off.
That's our hope.
We will try.
All right. Emily Gonzalez, Corey Law from the Whiteside County Health Department. Again, thanks so much for stopping in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are not too far away. We'll have another check in with Richard Noondike at Sterling Futures coming up here in just about 90.